on Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com. The week in Georgia in English, coming to you from Lower Haight in San Francisco. Today is Thursday, the 19th of November, 2015. On this date in 1824, a flood on the Neva River claims an estimated 10,000 lives in St. Petersburg. 1863, Abraham Lincoln delivers the 272-word Gettysburg Address. 1942, Soviet counterattack at Stalingrad. 1969, Pele scores his 1,000th goal. 1977, Sadat visits Israel. 1985, Reagan and Gorbachev hold their first summit meeting. 1998, the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee begins impeachment hearings against U.S. President Bill Clinton. Birthdays today are Benjamin Chu, James Garfield, Peter Drucker, Indira Gandhi, Ted Turner, and Jodie Foster. Today is the feast day of Obadiah in the Eastern Catholic Church. It's Artillery and Missile Day in Russia and World Toilet Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Adi Swieka. Send us your comments, questions to tpeelpod.com or tpeelpod@gmail.com. On the 16th of November, there was a big media hullabaloo about two Georgian language sites that are pro-Islamic State after Facebook users started sharing them to bring attention to them. One was a WordPress-based blog that was created a few months ago and publishes video appeals calling for Georgian Muslims to join them. There was an entry from the 9th of November attributed to 56-year-old Murman Paichadze, a.k.a. Abu Asya al-Juri, who is a Muslim cleric from a small village in Salka municipality in Kvemokartli. He left for Turkey about 2 months ago, according to his family. The statement, Murman Paichadze's address from the Islamic Caliphate, says, "You infidels, why don't you withdraw your troops from Muslim countries? Await the response of the Muslims, which will be very severe." Other posts recount jihadi successes, such as the terrorist attack in Paris on the 13th of November. Spokesperson for the State Security Service, Nino Ghirgobiani, said they've been investigating the sites. In the evening of the 16th of November, the deputy head of the State Security Service, Levan Izoria, said in an interview with Maestro TV that, "We take seriously all threats related to Georgia voiced publicly by terrorists." He also assured that Georgia is not among the countries with a high risk of terrorist attacks. He said that Georgia is closely cooperating with its Western partners and some of its neighbors in sharing intelligence. He revealed that a day earlier on the 15th of November, based on information provided by Georgia, Azerbaijan arrested one of their own citizens in Balakan who was trying to illegally cross into Georgia for the purpose of transiting to Syria to join Islamic State. Izoria continued to explain that they prevented dozens of foreign citizens from entering Georgia, mainly from African and Arab countries, who were trying to use Georgia as a transit country to get to Turkey first and then to Syria. He said they have a list from their strategic partners, which includes thousands of people who are active terrorists and potential terrorists. He said that more than 30 Somali citizens were barred from entering Georgia this way. About the Georgian language pro-Islamic State websites, Izoria repeated that they have been investigating the sites but haven't taken them down because they want to gather more relevant information. He said they now have enough grounds to launch a prosecution against certain individuals. There were also rumors that the head of Hezbollah was in Georgia after photos were circulating allegedly showing him outside the McDonald's in Margenashvili. Deputy head of state security Levan Izoria said, "That's false. He's not in Georgia." And indeed, he wasn't. We at Spielpod haven't managed to find that photo, but may we remind you, since particularly for our listeners in faraway places like the United States, this all gets kind of confusing. ISIS is Sunni, and the attack they took credit for in Beirut was specifically against the Hezbollah, which is Shia. State Security Council then held a meeting in the morning of the 18th of November, chaired by Prime Minister Kharabashvili. They announced that Georgia will be taking additional security measures at borders and strategic facilities and critical infrastructure following the Paris terrorist attacks. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashely explained that the additional security measures were taken as a precaution, not because there are any immediate threats. The head of the State Security Service, Vakhtang Gomalauri, said that they are imposing stricter border control, especially towards visitors from Asia and Africa, in order to prevent Georgia being used as a transit country to Syria. Following up on what's happening at Rustavioti's management, on the 13th of November in the evening, the Constitutional Court suspended the parts of the Civil Procedures Code that Judge Tamaz Urtmelidze used to appoint the temporary managers of Rustavioti. As a reminder, on the 5th of November, the Tbilisi City Court Judge Urtmelidze ordered, as an interim injunction until the ownership dispute was settled, appointing temporary managers to Rustavioti, named by plaintiff Kibar Khalvashi. The temporary managers replaced the broadcaster's Director General Nika Gvaramia and Chief Financial Officer Kaja Damenia. The order was appealed by Rustavioti shareholders in the Common Court, but in parallel they also lodged a complaint with the Constitutional Court, arguing that the clauses of the Civil Procedures Code allowed for temporary injunctive measures with too broad a scope that could violate constitutional rights to property and media freedom, which certainly was happening. The clause in the Civil Code envisages granting management, representation, and leadership powers to temporary managers of a legal entity of mass communication or media outlet as an interim measure to secure the enforcement of a court's decision. So the Rustavioti owners sought to suspend the application of these clauses as an interim measure. As a reminder, a day earlier on the 12th of November, Tbilisi City Court Judge Urtmelidze overturned his earlier ruling to change the TV station's management and reinstated the director general and financial director, at least until the appeals process into the ruling to replace them was completed. The overturned ruling was based on an appeal by the Rustavioti owners. But now the Constitutional Court ruled that they should suspend the clause in the procedural code that allowed it in the first place, so Guarami and Domenia will remain chief executives of the broadcaster. The actual ownership dispute is still going on. As a reminder, on the 3rd of November, Urtmelidze ruled in favor of Kibar Khalvashi, but the verdict has been appealed by the current owners and they remain shareholders unless all avenues of appeal are exhausted. The next stage is the Court of Appeals. If the verdict is appealed, it can go to the Supreme Court. Prime Minister Kharabashvili started an official visit to Slovakia on the 13th of November. He met his Slovak counterpart and Speaker of Parliament. The Georgian delegation included the Foreign Minister, Interior Minister, Agricultural Minister. The Prime Minister of Slovakia said the country fully supports EU visa liberalization for Georgia and granting NATO Membership Action Plan, or a MAP. Prime Minister Kharabashvili then continued to pay a working visit to Brussels, where there was a second meeting of the EU-Georgia Association Council on the 16th of November. The meeting was to look at the progress made in the implementation of the association agreement and also at remaining challenges. It was co-chaired by EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini, who had visited Tbilisi earlier the week before, and the Commissioner for European Neighborhood and Enlargement Negotiations, Johannes Hahn. The three held a press conference together after the meeting. Mogherini said, "It is clear from today's meeting that we are committed to continue Georgia's political association and economic integration with the EU. As a reminder, the final decision regarding Georgia's visas liberalization will be made by the European Commission after the upcoming Commission progress report is issued on the 15th of December. EU Commissioner for European Neighborhood Policy and Enlargement Negotiations, Johannes Hahn, announced he would come to Georgia in the near future in the framework of a non-official dialogue of the Eastern Partnership. In Brussels, Kharabashvili also met with President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, and First Vice President of the European Commission, Frans Timmermans. Speaking at a government session in Tbilisi on the 19th of November, Prime Minister Kharabashvili accused UNM leaders of lobbying the EU not to grant Georgia visa-free travel to the Schengen area while the Georgian dream is in government. And he is right. The UNM has been doing that, which is messed up and illustrates how they see themselves as the gatekeepers to the EU, which they are not, nor should they see themselves that way, nor should anybody be that way for Georgia. Kharabashvili then continued that there is a high probability that the European Commission's report on how Georgia is implementing its Visa Liberalization Action Plan, or a VLAP, will be positive. Let's hope that Georgia doesn't get visa liberalization, and then 5 seconds later, Rustavioti is closed. On the 19th of November, the Prosecutorial Council voted for incumbent Deputy Chief Prosecutor Irakli Shotadze to be the candidate for Chief Prosecutor. prosecutor. Shotadze and two others were presented as candidates by Justice Minister Tsulukiani before a 14-seat prosecutorial council the day before. As a reminder, the prosecutorial council was established after the new law in the prosecutor's office was adopted in September. Shotadze will now require endorsement from the government and confirmation from the parliament through a simple majority of at least 76 votes. Shotadze was the ruling Georgian Dreams Coalition's favorite candidate. Justice Minister Tsulukiani explained he was an experienced prosecutor, but one of his weaker aspects as a candidate is his young age. He is 32. As a note, there are a total of 15 seats in the prosecutorial council, but one is vacant. It's allocated for a lawmaker that is not a part of the Georgian Dream parliamentary majority group. However, the opposition lawmakers from UNM and Free Democrats have snubbed the process and criticized the new rule of selecting the chief prosecutor, saying it doesn't actually depoliticize the prosecutor's office. And it's kind of hard to argue with them. It's set up so that, in essence, the government can continue to control that position. They certainly could have made it much more open, but didn't want to because it is, in fact, quite political. Defense Minister Tina Kohidashelli left for a two-week visit on this foreign trip on the 19th of November. She's going to Halifax, Canada, which is the biggest security meeting west of Munich. She'll address the annual Halifax International Security Forum on the 20th of November. She'll meet with representatives of Canada's new government on the sideline of the forum, including new Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan, very macho, very cool Sikh guy. Then she goes to New York to meet with UN officials in charge of peacekeeping operations. Then to Germany, where she'll meet with her German counterpart. Then Brussels, where she addresses the European Parliament Security and Defense Subcommittee. Then on to Azerbaijan. Several members of the Alliance of Patriots Party were taken to the hospital on the 17th of November after going on hunger strike almost 10 days earlier on the 9th of November. Apart from the four who were hospitalized, about 70 more party members continued their hunger strike outside the government building in Tbilisi. Their hunger strike is in protest against what they say was election fraud in the Member of Parliament by-elections that were held in two districts on the 31st of October. They were also calling for the defense minister to resign, but now they are pushing more for reforming the electoral system ahead of the 2016 parliamentary elections. Party leader Irma Inashvili announced that they plan a protest rally for the 21st of November. Earlier in the week, Prime Minister Garabashvili appealed to them to end their hunger strike. People in Tbilisi gathered outside the parliament building on Rustaveli on the 14th of November to show solidarity with France and the Paris terror victims. About 200 people lit candles, held flowers, or painted the French colors on their cheeks. That night, a number of landmarks around Tbilisi were lit up in French blue, white, and red colors, as landmarks all over the world were lit up, including former Tbilisi City Council building at Freedom Square, Peace Bridge, and the Presidential Palace. On the 17th of November, there was a book of condolences at Tbilisi Sacre Boulou or City Council for anyone to come in and write a message for the people of France. Following up on previous week's stories, there was an anti-Gazprom rally on the 18th of November outside BI's Sololaki residence. They were protesting the government's negotiations with the Russian state energy company to increase Gazprom's business and supply to Georgia. The protest was organized by a group called Georgia for Liberty, which included the NGO's Liberty Institute, and GRAS. The protesters claimed that Azerbaijan is ready to supply more gas to Georgia, and it's cheaper, so it's a political decision to buy Russian gas. As a reminder, there was a larger no to Gazprom demonstration in October outside the government building, and there's been a lot of discussion and protest in general after it was revealed in September that the energy minister was negotiating with Gazprom and plans to reach a deal in December. Prime Minister's Special Representative for Relations with Russia Zurabishidze, is meeting Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin in Prague on the 19th of November. The last meeting was in July. They're set to negotiate standard things for this format, including trade, economic relations, transport, and humanitarian issues. Former Interior Minister Vano Medvashvili and former Chief Prosecutor Zuda Adeshvili are facing new criminal charges from the prosecutor's office that stem back to 2004. Relating to the unlawful seizure of property, the prosecutor's office claims that in 2004, Medvashvili and Adeshvili planned with various state agencies to liquidate the Ajara Sea Bank because the bank shareholders were affiliates of former Ajara ruler Aslan Abashidze. So they chased after creditors to repay their loans quickly, even though they were only due in a few years' time, and had the money transferred to special accounts. If the clients didn't have the money, they were forced to give up property in its stead. On the 13th of November, police chief of the Baque Sabartalo Police Station No. 5, as we mentioned last week, was detained for the beating of a lawyer in the police station a few days earlier. The prosecutor's office said he was detained for alleged abuse of power through violence. The charges carry a punishment of 5 to 8 years in prison if found guilty. The lawyer was hospitalized from the beating. He was beaten after telling the police that a client of his, a juvenile in detention, would be exercising his right to silence. The case garnered a lot of attention and criticism from human rights groups, from the ombudsman, and now, more recently, the justice minister, saying it would be a litmus test on whether there would be a proper, justice in cases involving the police. Council of Europe's Commissioner for Human Rights visited Georgia from the 9th to the 13th of November. The press release summing up his trip, he welcomed a number of positive achievements, such as reform in the juvenile justice system, but also noted that further efforts are needed in justice reform in combating intolerance. He said that in order to fully guarantee judicial independence, the selection, appointment, and transfer of judges should be transparent, merit-based, and done in accordance with clear criteria, and that judges should be better shielded from internal and external interference, notably when it comes to high-profile cases. By the way, the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International, had been working with the judiciary and the Ministry of Justice to give them a random method by which to allocate judges to cases, since obviously Urtmalidze was clearly put for a purpose on the Rustaviotti case, but the ministry doesn't seem to be too excited about the randomization of that process. Archaeologists discovered a previously unknown DNA component of European hunter-gatherers from the remnants of two skeletons found in western Georgia in the Kotais Kulde rock shelter and the Satsurbia cave sites. The dates remain back 13,300 and 9,700 years. The discovery is a missing fourth strand of DNA common in populations in Europe. The scientists conclude that a population of hunter-gatherers split from other hunter-gatherers shortly after the out-of-Africa expansion 45,000 years ago and went on to settle in the Caucasus, where they were then isolated by an ice age. After the thaw, it's likely that they mixed with populations from further east, the genetic mixture resulting in the Yamnaya culture, which then moved into Western Europe about 5,000 years ago, bringing with them metallurgy and animal herding skills, and also the ancestral Caucasus hunter-gatherer strand of DNA. We have more info on this research in our Stuff to Read. Russian forces kidnapped a 60-year-old man at the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia on the 18th of November. Georgia is expected to become a member of the energy community in September 2016, according to the deputy energy minister. They said negotiations on it are soon coming to an end. It was announced within the framework of a conference in Tbilisi this week on Georgia's energy sector, progression towards the EU and electricity trading mechanism. It was organized by the think tank World Experience for Georgia. It's not clear who they are, and their website doesn't say anything about their funding, which is a little creepy, so we can't really say. Anybody has any ideas, please let us know. The government is making amendments to the state property law to exempt some 8,000 farmers from fines from leasing agreements for agricultural lands that were signed before January 2014. It amounts to about 20 million lari. Additionally, the economy ministry said that they will also forgive farmers unpaid rents for agricultural equipment rented between certain years. Almost all of Azerbaijan lost internet for a period of 8 hours on the 16th of November after a fire broke out in a telecommunications facility owned by Delta Telecom in Baku, which is the primary network provider in Azerbaijan. Greek Parliament ratified the EU-Georgia Association Agreement in the first reading on the 18th of November. Energy Ministry announced a tender last week for building the country's first wind farm. It'll be in Gori, according to the director of the Georgia Energy Development Fund. The wind turbines are already in the country. Plans to have them installed starting in February 2016. He explained that they've been working on securing financing. EBRD has said that they will allocate more than 20 million euros for the construction, but the 20-megawatt power plant will cost over $34 million, hence the tender announcement. Interesting that the turbines are already in the country. There's a kind of Georgian project management element of that to you. Like, you know, look, Mevlut, just bring them in and we'll figure out how to deal with the financing later. But anyway, the president's parliamentary secretary announced that the process for revoking Misha's Georgian citizenship has begun. Money transfers into Georgia went down 27.4% in October 2015 in comparison to October 2014, a year before, according to figures by the National Bank. The Ministries of Agriculture and Economy are launching a state program for the 2016 for producing tea. 7,000 hectares of tea plantations will be rehabilitated in Georgia. They will also launch a certification program to ensure tea production meets European standards so it can be exported to European markets. Local property development company M2 Residential LLC received a $23 million loan package from the International Finance Corporation, which is a member of the World Bank Group, to build green-friendly, energy-efficient apartment complexes in Tbilisi. Defense Minister Tineke Khidasheli announced plans to give bonuses to the army for people below the vice colonel rank. According to reporting from Kommersant, Turkcell, which is Turkey's biggest mobile operator, is planning to acquire Telesonera's stake in Fintur Holdings. Fintur is based in Rotterdam and provides mobile telecommunication services in the Eurasia region. Reportedly, Turkcell has a 41.5% stake in the company. Telesonera has the rest. Fintur operates Geocell in Georgia, so if the deal goes through, Turkcell will own Geocell. Delegation from the U.S. think tank, the Atlantic Council, visited Georgia late last week in the framework of a regional trip. The four-person delegation was led by Atlantic Council's Executive Vice President Damon Wilson. They met with Prime Minister Garibashvili. Representatives from Parliament are on an official visit to Budapest this week, met with their Hungarian counterparts. They're discussing having a Georgian culture days in Budapest. They also signed a memorandum of cooperation between Georgian Parliament's National Library and the Library of Budapest, and to have the two countries' parliamentary libraries cooperate on cross-cultural affairs. United Nations World Tourism Organization's inaugural global conference on wine tourism will be held in Kakheti in September 2016. Minister of Culture met with his Estonian counterpart in Tallinn last week. Georgia is the focus country on the Tallinn Black Nights Film Festival. Following up on previous week's stories, Prime Minister Garibashvili hosted former British Minister, Prime Minister Tony Blair on the 18th of November. They had a dinner at the funicular restaurant overlooking Tatsminda. Writer Nino Garibashvili won the literary Anne Segerts Prize in Germany. 32-year-old Garibashvili was born in Tbilisi, but is based in Hamburg. One of the jurors said that Khatashvili was among the most powerful and least egocentric young authors. Three Georgians are among the nominees for the 2016 Astrid Lindgren Memorial Prize, which was established by the Swedish government and is run by the Swedish Arts Council. The prize is for promoting and developing young adult literature. The winners received a cash prize of $760,000. A short list of 215 candidates was announced at the Frankfurt Book Fair in October. Three Georgia nominees are author Natalie Davitashvili, author Teja Topuria, and the Tbilisi-based Book Art Center for promoting book design and illustration. The two writers each won the Gala Prize in Georgia for Best Children's Book. Following up on previous month's stories, 10 prisoners have been released from prison since 25th of October, when the Constitutional Court ruled that imprisonment was an inappropriately strict punishment for possession of marijuana for personal use. According to the prison ministry, the prisoners have previously been sentenced for marijuana-related charges, and following the ruling, the constitutional amendment asked for the cases to be reviewed. A group of Georgian law enforcers underwent training on document examination and identity fraud in the Netherlands as part of an EU-funded project on reinforcing Georgia's capacities on border and migration management. Over 450 IDP families are being given new homes in Tbilisi. 330 of the flats are in the Olympic Village that was built for the European Youth Olympic Festivals this July. Four Georgian filmmakers are presenting at the 28th Annual International Documentary Film Festival in Amsterdam. There's Salome Machaidze's film, When the Earth Seemed to Be Light, about free-minded youth in a former Soviet country. There'll be workshops by documentary filmmaker Cira Gvasalia. Rati Onelli will pitch City of the Sun about life in the mining town of Chiatura. And there will be Toma Chagaleishvili's Little Berlin Wall about everyday relationships in Abkhazia. Late Georgian private first class Vasil Kuljanishvili, who was killed in Afghanistan in the NATO-led Resolute Support mission in September, was awarded the U.S. Bronze Star Medal at the base of the U.S. Army's 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell. He was awarded the Bronze Star Medal for his exceptionally meritorious service at the U.S. Army base. Kuljanishvili's name was also carved into a memorial stone alongside the names of 3rd Brigade Combat Team service member Corporal John M. Dawson, who was killed in action in April while also serving in Afghanistan. A new Japanese corner will be created in the Botanical Gardens in Tbilisi. It was organized by Tbilisi City Hall's Municipal Department of Ecology with a delegation from Japanese landscape experts Kosugi. The company carried out a similar project, creating a Japanese garden in Bahrain. Georgia was named among the 5 best wine producer countries in the Interwine Hangzhou 2015 Wine Exhibition in China. The Jazz in Minsk International Festival in Belarus this week is featuring a Georgian jazz carnival section. The jazz group Tbilisi Big Band, which is an awesome band, by the way, is teaming up and headlining with famous jazz vocalist Michelle Hendricks. In parliamentary news, on the 16th of November, the UNM announced a campaign to increase the minimum monthly pension by 50 lari, bringing it up to 210 lari for next year. They are collecting signatures for a petition and will then present it to Parliament. UNM lawmaker Dato Bakradze said that the 50 lari increase will cost the state budget 420 million lari in 2016 and said the funding should come from cutting government administrative costs. Georgian Dream candidates were also in support of raising pensions, but the lawmaker who chairs the Parliamentary Committee for Healthcare suggested that a pension increase of 10 lari a month is feasible for the budget, not 50. Meme this week is a picture of the Tbilisi monuments lit up in the colors of the French flag, as many people were sharing various albums of their own pictures of Tbilisi solidarity with Paris. There's also another meme. This was a video temporarily going around Facebook, which is a bad advertisement from iPhone Plus in Georgia, which mimics a Daesh propaganda video. In the video, there's a bunch of guys standing wearing balaclavas, brandishing guns. One guy speaking in Arabic, and there's a Georgian translation, but it's about the iPhone Plus. The video was soon taken down, and everybody thought it was creepy. Simon Ostrovsky of Vice News was in Odessa earlier in late summer. This is a video report that covers how strange it is that Misha became government of the Odessa region. There's an interview with Misha, also talks with everyday people on what they think about having a foreigner as a governor. Another Ostrovsky report for Vice, another segment from the trip to Georgia covering the creeping occupation. He talks to the energy ministry and asks some very tough questions on why Georgia allowed Rosneft to buy 49% of the Poti terminal earlier this year. Civil.ge has a timeline detailing the developments of Rustaviori. These timelines are really great and very, very helpful. Thanks to Civil.ge for doing them. Anna Nemtsova report for the Daily Beast on Rustaviori's story makes parallels to the KGB blackmail tactics. Jackson Deal has an editorial piece in the Washington Post on Misha's corruption-fighting task in Odessa, how the new war front in Ukraine is not so much militarily with Russia in the east of the country, but overcoming a dead economy, revamping the civil service. Prime Minister Garabashvili wrote in Euractiv advocating visa-free travel is the logical next step in Georgia's EU integration. Tbilisi-based NGO Chaihana reports on villagers and burdensome agricultural loans in Armenia. Chipa professor Tornike Shadashanidze writes for ECFR on political developments in Georgia over the past 2 years. He argues that it mainly began after the NDI-CRC polls were released in early October and showed that the Georgian Dream had lost a lot of support, so a lot of subsequent developments like the attacks on the UNM office, the Rustaviori case shutting down critical media, are because BI and the Georgian Dream are worried about remaining in power. a group of Western former ambassadors and now foreign policy experts argue in the national interest that the West should not ignore the growing crisis in the South Caucasus countries, that there's a real possibility of war. Deutsche Welle follows an animal conservation organization into the Vashlovany National Park to see what wildlife is there and how the shepherds manage. Liana Satstein has more coverage in Vogue from Tbilisi Fashion Week. She looks at how traditional clothing are becoming very trendy, like the Ukrainian Vishivanka, and so Georgian designers are incorporating traditional Georgian techniques or fabrics or styles into their designs. ESPN reports on how Georgian NBA player Zaza Pachulia has been doing quite well for the Dallas Mavericks. This time for Culinary Backstreet, Paul Rimple visits Shavi Lomi, or Black Lion Restaurant in Sololaki, which has new takes and recipes on old regional Georgian dishes. CRC looks at the relationship between parents and children's education in Georgia. The research is mentioned above on the fourth ancestral strand of European DNA from the Caucasus. There's a report published in Nature Communications and an explanation of it in Science Daily. Georgian Journal interviews U.S. Ambassador to Georgia, Ian Kelly. An interview with Donald N. Jensen, who's a resident fellow at the School of International Studies at Johns Hopkins, SAIS, on Georgia's multi-vector foreign policy. Although anybody who ever says multi-vector, I don't trust. All these things to read will be posted in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is $45 million. This is how much Lari is being awarded to various ministries in supplements, which is effectively replacing bonuses, according to the state auditor, Lasha Tordia. So while the amount of bonuses decreased by $31 million Lari, supplements increased by $45 million Lari. He said supplements increased by 69% in the Ministry of Regional Development, 206% in the Ministry of Justice, 412% in the Prisons Ministry, 1,509% in the Ministry of Culture, 35% in the Ministry of IDPs, and 270% in the Ministry of Health. The Museum of Georgia has an exhibit on aircraft designer Alexander Kartveli until May 2016. Go see this. 16th annual Tbilisi International Film Festival is coming from the 30th of November to the 6th of December. Go to tbilisifilmfestival.ge. There's an international book festival, Tbilisi Book Days, which will be at the Expo Georgia Hall from the 26th to 29th of November. Go see it. Radharami will be there, and it will be cool. This event passed, but it's interesting, and so we're going to say something about it. The Tbilisi Georgian Society had a talk with Professor Emma Loosely on the 13 Syrian Fathers, Georgia monasticism, traditionally believed to have been founded by 13 monks from Syria who traveled to Kartli in the early 6th century, and then spread across Kartli and Kakheti with their followers, founding monasteries in the remote mountainous and deserts of the region. Mountains and deserts of the region, but some people claim they weren't actually Syrians or Assyrians, but were ethnic Georgians. So this talk explored that. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com, or post the form on our website, www.peelpod.com, and we will finish with, from 1974, this is George McRae and Rock You Baby.